Several years ago, there was a famous quote. And if I began this quote, no doubt you could finish it. Shakespeare wrote, having Hamlet to say, "To be or not to be, that is the question." There's a lot of people who try to figure out what in the world Hamlet meant by that. And what is it that was to be and what is it that was not to be? Who knows? But this morning I want us to consider a very fundamental question. It's very fundamental to the New Testament. It's very fundamental to our understanding of the will of God. It's very fundamental to our understanding of our salvation and what we must do in order to be saved. It's very fundamental in order for us to have the promise of heaven. And yet it is a topic that is, for one reason or another, has become disputed and controversial and misunderstood and mistaught. So this morning I want us to come to the Word of God. Not be concerned about what man teaches. Not be concerned about the doctrines that have been taught by various churches or denominations. I want us this morning to come to the Word of God and use the Word of God to answer the question, to be or not to be baptized. That is the question. Do you have to be baptized in order to be saved? To be baptized or not to be baptized? I want us to think about that question this morning. On the first hand, I want us to think about the negative part of it so that we can get to the positive part of it. And we're just going to stay at this part very briefly. But I want you to consider, and we could make a very long list, but briefly, 10 reasons why you should not be baptized. Now that might sound kind of counterproductive. That might sound like we don't want you to be baptized and that you shouldn't be baptized. But there are reasons not to be baptized. I want you to think about these. And especially these first several I want our young people to think about because I think they impact you the most. You should not be baptized to make your parents happy. That's a good benefit, and that's hopefully something that results from it, but that should not be the reason that you get baptized, is to make your parents happy. Or to impress someone, to impress a girlfriend, to impress a boyfriend, to impress someone else. That's not a Bible reason to be baptized, to make someone happy. You should not be baptized in order to keep up with what the other teens are doing. Sometimes one young person will be baptized and that makes another person want to be baptized, makes another one young person want to be baptized, and that's great. But that's not a Bible reason to be baptized. You need to be baptized for a Bible reason and not just because there are other people who are being baptized. You should not be baptized in order to make a commitment that you're not ready to make, in order to make a commitment that you're not mature enough to make. Being baptized is not, as some would think it is, some kind of a fix-all for all of the problems of life and everything's going to be hunky-dory after you're baptized. There is a commitment that is made when one is baptized into Christ. One needs to be ready to make that commitment. One needs to be mature enough to make that commitment. You should not be baptized in order to do a right thing, but not do it for a right reason. Is being baptized a right thing to do? You read your New Testament, and over 100 times you see some form of that word baptism used in the New Testament. You see people being baptized. It's obviously not a wrong thing to do, so it must be a right thing to do, But it's not a right thing to do if it's not done for the right reason. Think about those verses that Joel read before the Lord's Supper as an illustration. Is the Lord's Supper, partaking of unleavened bread and fruit of the vine, is that a right thing to do? We read commands given to us in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We read examples of that early church doing it. It's obvious that it's a right thing to do. But what if you don't do the right thing for the right reason? You heard it in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We can eat and drink damnation to ourselves, even doing a right thing, if we don't do it for the right reason. Being baptized is a right thing to do, but we should not do it for a reason that is not a Bible reason. Do you notice that which is common? That which is carried through on all of these, and that is that we are looking for Bible authority on why we should be baptized. Looking for Bible reasons of why we should be baptized. We need to be baptized, but need to do it for the right reason. You should not be baptized in order, as some have taught, to be cleansed from what they call original sin or inherited sin. It has been taught for years by many that when a child is born, that he inherits the sins of his parents because they inherited the sins of their parents, because it goes all the way back to the original sin of Adam and Eve, and everyone who has been born since has been born totally deprived in sin, sinful from birth. Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse 20. The Bible teaches the soul who sins shall die. The son shall not bear the guilt of the father, neither shall the father bear the guilt of the son. The righteousness shall be upon himself, and the wickedness shall be upon himself. We do not inherit sin. Sin is a choice that each individual makes. Each individual will be punished, not because of inherited sin. The Bible doesn't teach that there is such a thing. Each person will be punished for their own sin. The soul who sins shall be punished for the sins that that soul commits. You do not need to be baptized in order to be cleansed from original sin, because there is no thing called original or inherited sin found in the New Testament. These next three are very closely related. And all of these words come not from words that I have made up, but words that I have pulled from various places that teach these various ideas. You should not be baptized. It's not a reason to be baptized to show an outward symbol of an inward change, of an inward regeneration. Another way to say that is, you should not be baptized in order to show publicly that you have already been saved. Another way to say that, another way that it is said, is that you should not be baptized in order to symbolically express that you are already identified with Christ. What does that mean? There are those who teach that one is saved before he's baptized. That one is regenerated, one is changed, his sins are removed before he's baptized, and baptism is simply an outward symbol. It is a public acknowledgement, a public expression, so that those who are there can know that they are already saved and that they can at that moment publicly identify themselves and say, I have already identified myself with Christ. Brethren, those are not reasons to be baptized, because the Bible does not teach those reasons. I'm not trying to be unkind in any of this, and I hope I'm not coming across that way. The most important question we can ask is to be or not to be baptized. And when we ask that question, the most important question we can ask is, how do I know whether I should be or not be baptized? And there's only one place I can go. And unfortunately for those who teach it, but fortunately for us, nowhere in our New Testaments do we read anything about an outward symbol, about a public expression, or a symbolic expression of our baptism saying we're identified with Christ. You should not be baptized for those reasons. You should not be baptized in order to be accepted or to join a denomination. There's no Bible authority for that. And folks, you should not be baptized because someone tells you to do it. You should not be baptized because a man tells you you need to do it. You should not be baptized because a church tells you you need to do it. Folks, those are not Bible reasons to be baptized. And on that number 10, I want you to understand this morning that you should not take anything that this man says about baptism and accept it without first investigating to see what does the Word of God teach. You need to be like those in Berea in Acts chapter 17 and verse 11, who when the Apostle Paul came to town, searched the Scriptures daily to see whether what Paul was saying was so. And whatever is said this morning, you need to search the Scriptures to see whether these things are so. Pick up your Bibles. Pick up a concordance. Find if any of these are reasons that are used in the New Testament for someone to be baptized. And if you find the verse, then please, honestly, come and show me. You should not be baptized because a man tells you to be. You should only do that which the Word of God teaches. Those are some reasons not to be baptized. And I know that you think we could have a longer list than this, but I want to double that. And I want to talk about 20, not just reasons, Bible reasons. And we're going to go through these quickly, so don't start sweating. 20, not any reasons, Bible reasons to be baptized. I want you to get your Bibles. These verses will not magically appear on some kind of a virtual reality screen in front of you of any kind. I want you to look in your Bibles. We're going to start in the book of Matthew. And instead of jumping all over, we're just going to start in Matthew and we're going to proceed through the New Testament book by book so you'll be able to follow along. Folks, I want us to see, what does the Bible teach is the purpose of baptism? Not what does the Church of Christ teach. Not what does David think. Neither one of those things matter if it's not what the Word of God teaches. What are the Bible reasons for being baptized? To be or not to be baptized? That's the question. Are you in Matthew? Go to the very end of the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 28 in the Great Commission. Jesus begins in Matthew chapter 28, beginning in verse 18, and he says, "All authority has been given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them." And here's what I want us to see. Baptizing them, and the old ASV American Standard has it best. Baptizing them into the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. When a person is baptized, they are baptized into a new relationship with God. They were in a relationship, or let's say they were not in a relationship with God at one point, but when they are baptized into the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's a different expression than what we find in other places when it talks about in the name of Christ. That's talking about His authority. Here it's talking about a new relationship that begins when one is baptized into Christ. He didn't have that relationship before he was baptized. But now that he is baptized, he has a new relationship with God. It's similar to what we read in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. They once were not a people, but now they are the people of God. That's what baptism does. It changes you from being not a people to being in a new relationship with God. That is a reason, a Bible reason, to be baptized. Go to the book of Mark. Go to the end of the book of Mark, where we see the parallel of what we read in Matthew chapter 28. Mark chapter 16, beginning in verse 15. Jesus says, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Preach about Jesus dying and being buried and being raised again for the sins of the world. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Listen to it. "He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. He who does not believe shall be condemned." Why should someone be baptized? A Bible reason in Mark 16, verse 16, to be baptized is that a person might be saved from their past sins. He who believes and is baptized, what will happen to that person? That person shall be saved. That's his greatest need. The greatest need every one of us have is the salvation from our sins, because our sins separate us from God. How can we have salvation from our sins? What does Jesus say? "He who believes and is baptized shall be saved." What does that little word "and" show us? That the believing and the baptizing are equally essential. One is not more important than the other. If you remove one of those from the equation, you cannot have the end result. You should not change Jesus's formula. Leave the formula Jesus gave us. He who believes and is baptized, what happens? He will be saved from his past sins. That is a Bible reason to be baptized. Go to John chapter 3. John chapter 3, Jesus is speaking at night to a man by the name of Nicodemus. And Nicodemus comes to him, and Jesus says to him in John chapter 3 and verse 3, "Most assuredly I say to you," Jesus speaking, "unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." One must be born again in order to see the kingdom. What does it mean to be born again, is what Nicodemus asked. Jesus says that one must be born of water and the Spirit in order to enter. What is that? What is it to be born of water and the Spirit? If you're taking notes, write down these other passages. When we read in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 26, that there is the washing of water by the Word. We are washed by the Word, a product of the Spirit, and by the water when we are baptized. Write down Titus chapter 3 and verse 5. I don't know if I have that one up there. I do. Where it talks about the fact that there's the washing of regeneration by the Spirit. You see the washing, you see the water, you see the Spirit involved in all of these is talking about us being baptized. Being baptized, why? In order that we might see the kingdom of God. But what else does verse 5 teach us? We must be baptized. We must be born again. What will be the result? We will have the promise of entering the kingdom of God. And Jesus says, unless, or you might have the translation that says, except one do this, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. What does that say? Jesus says, this is the only way. You will not and never will enter the kingdom of God if you do not do this one thing. That doesn't mean that there are not other things, faith and repentance necessary. But Jesus says, if you don't do this one thing, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. Folks, that is a Bible reason to be baptized. Go to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, the passage that was read for us moments ago, where you have the first sermon, the first gospel sermon preached in its entirety. And we started in the scripture reading at the very last verse of that sermon, in verse 36, where the Bible says, where Peter says that God has made this Jesus whom you've crucified, he's made him both Lord and Christ. And the Bible says they were pricked in the heart. They recognized they had taken the Son of God and nailed him to a cross. And they said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do? Is there anything possible that we can do to be saved from what we have done? We've done the most horrible thing that can be done. Is there anything we can do? Men and brethren, what shall we do?" What's the answer? "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Why? For the remission of sins. What shall we do? We've sinned. We've committed a horrible act. What shall we do? Repent. Be baptized. A little word "and" there again. For the remission of sins. There is no way to obtain the remission of sins, according to this verse, without being baptized. That is a Bible reason to be baptized. You go over to Colossians chapter 2, and we'll look at that verse in just in a few moments. But if you look at the context in verses 11 through 13, up in verse 11, it talks about the fact that our body of sin has been done away with. Down in verse 13, talks about the fact that we have forgiveness of sins. You know what's right in the middle in verse 12? The fact that we have been buried in baptism. Remove the body of sin, forgiven us of our sins. That's a Bible reason to be baptized. Go to Acts chapter 8. In Acts chapter 8, there is an Ethiopian traveling along in a chariot reading from Isaiah chapter 53. God sends Philip, a preacher and evangelist, to go and preach the gospel to him. He gets in the chariot with him, and the Bible says in verse 35 that he begins preaching unto him Jesus. They come into some water, and the Ethiopian says, "Look, here's water. What hinders me from being baptized?" Where did he get the idea that he needed to be baptized? Where did he get the idea that it even mattered that there was water that was there? It's obvious that involved in preaching Jesus, Philip was preaching baptism and the necessity of baptism. "Look, here's water. What hinders me from being baptized?" And Philip says, if you believe with all your heart, you may. He says, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." They stopped the chariot. They both went down in the water, and he baptized him. But here's what I want us to see at the end of verse 39. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away so that the eunuch saw him no more, and the eunuch went on his way rejoicing. When did he rejoice? Did he rejoice when he learned the truth? Did he rejoice when he knew about Jesus? Did he rejoice when he knew he needed to be baptized? The Bible tells us he did not rejoice until after he was baptized. You go to Acts chapter 16 and you see the Philippian jailer there baptized. When did he rejoice? Acts 16 and verse 34. After he and his household were baptized. You want to be baptized? You need to be baptized. And it's only after baptism that you can rejoice for the salvation that God has brought into your life. Look at Acts chapter 10. Turn to Acts chapter 10. Peter preaches the first sermon to this Gentile household, Cornelius and his household. And in Acts chapter 10, he preaches unto them, and you get to the very end of the chapter. Go to the end of the chapter, last two verses of Acts chapter 10. Peter says, "Can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" Verse 48, "And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord." Why should someone be baptized? A Bible reason to be baptized, not the only Bible reason. A Bible reason to be baptized is to obey the commands of God. He commanded them to be baptized. That ties in with Acts 2:38. Be baptized in the name of Jesus. That's by His authority. Remember the Great Commission where Jesus said, "Go and teach them, baptizing them"? What did He say to start with? "All authority has been given unto me." A person needs to be baptized because that's what God has commanded that person to do in order to be saved. Turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 22. In Acts chapter 22, Paul is recounting and retelling the story of what happened to him when he was converted to Christ. He tells it here in chapter 22. He'll tell the story again in chapter 26. He tells about in Acts chapter 22 when Ananias came to preach unto him. Remember when Saul was on the road to Damascus? Saul was going to persecute these Christians. And a bright light appeared to him at noontime. A bright light appeared to him from heaven. And a voice came from that light saying, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Who are you, Lord? I am Jesus whom thou art persecuting." Remember what Saul asked him? "What would you have me to do?" Good question, right? If the Lord blinded you with a bright light about noon, so we've got a few minutes here, a bright light, would a good question be, what do you want me to do? By the way, he's not going to do that. But Saul asked a good question. What would you have me to do? Verse 6 of Acts chapter 9, God tells him, go into the city and there it will be told you what you must do. Ananias comes to Saul. Whatever Ananias is going to say to Saul is going to fit in Acts 9 verse 6. It's going to fit into God saying, this is what you must do. What does Ananias say? Acts 22 and verse 16. And now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Why does someone need to be baptized? Someone needs to be baptized in order to have their sins washed away. You cannot have your sins washed away, taken away from you, if you do not obey the commands of God, if you are not baptized for the remission of those sins. When you are baptized, this participle, this idea of calling, that's a participle in the Greek language. It points back to the baptizing. It says when you are being baptized, while you are doing that, it is calling on the name of the Lord. You know those verses that say, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. What does that mean? Does that mean just some verbal expression, some verbal call out to God? No, put it in the context of the Bible. When someone is baptized, God says at that very moment, he is calling on the name of the Lord. That's why you need to be baptized. It's that call that 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21 says, it is an appeal to God, it's calling out to God for a good conscience. Someone needs to be baptized in order for these things to happen. That is a Bible reason to be baptized. Go to Romans chapter 6. In Romans chapter 6, Paul is presenting unto this church some things that they had done when they became Christians. He says to them in Romans chapter 6 and verse 3, or do you not know, talking to this church, that as many of us as were baptized, past tense, we've already done this, as many of us as were baptized into Christ, as many of us as in the past tense were baptized into Christ, we were baptized into his death. Why is that significant? Because the Bible tells us that in his death, Jesus shed his blood for us. And it is blood, Revelation 1 verse 5, that washes away our sins. Why do we need to be baptized into his death? Because that's the only place we can come in contact with the blood of Jesus to wash away our sins. That's a Bible reason to be baptized. You go on in verse 4. And he says in verse 4, therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. When does the newness of life begin for a Christian? When he is buried with Christ, and just as Christ was raised to walk after baptism. Through baptism is the preposition there. Through baptism, raised to walk in newness of life as that new creature. And when that person is raised, when he's buried, when he's raised with Christ, look at verse 5. Verse 5 says, for we have been united together in the likeness of his death. Jesus died, we died. Jesus was buried, we are buried. Jesus was raised, we are raised out of the waters of baptism. And when that happens, when we obey that form, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus, when we obey that form, verse 17, you've obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine, buried, died, buried, and raised again, what happens? You have been freed from sin. When? After you have been baptized. You cannot be freed from sin until you have obeyed from the heart the form of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul talks to this church, some of whom he had baptized, but there is some kind of a division that has come about in this church. The division is because of this. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 12. Paul says, now I say this, 1 Corinthians 1, 12, that each of you says, I am of Paul, I am of Apollos, I am of Cephas, I am of Christ. There's a division in the church. Some are saying, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Cephas, I'm of Christ. You got these different factions that are in the church. Paul says, look, you don't need to be going around saying you are of Paul. You don't need to go around saying you are of Cephas, you are of Apollos. Why not? Look in verse 13. Here is the only way that you can say that you are of Paul, of Apollos, of Cephas, or of Christ. Verse 13. Is Christ divided? What's the answer to that question? No. Is Christ divided? No. Was Paul crucified for you? No. If Paul wasn't crucified for you, then you can't say, I am of Paul. Were you baptized in the name of Paul? No. Well, then you cannot say that you are of Paul. Paul was not crucified for you. You were not baptized in the name of Paul. Therefore, you cannot say, I am of Paul. How can I say I am of Christ then? Put it in verse 13. The only way I can say I am of Christ is if Christ has been crucified for me. Was he? Yes. And if I have been baptized in the name of Christ. That is the only way that I can become a Christian. That is the only way that I can wear the name of Christ. That's the only way that I can say I am of Christ is if he's been crucified for me and if I have been baptized into him. That's a Bible reason to be baptized. Because the Bible teaches us that there is no other way to become a Christian. Remember in Matthew 28, go into all the world, go therefore make disciples of all the nations. What are disciples? Make disciples. How do you make disciples? Well, you baptize them to make disciples. Acts 11 verse 26 says that the disciples were called Christians. How does one become a Christian? He's baptized. Read the book of Acts. I didn't put any verses up there, just the whole book. Read the book of Acts and see every time one was converted to Christ. And you will find every time somebody became a Christian in the New Testament, he was baptized in order for that to happen. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. If you're in chapter 1, flip over a few pages. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 13, the Bible says, for by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body. There's only one way to enter into the body of Christ. And the Bible says in this verse that that only way is through baptism. Remember Acts 2 and verse 41? Those who gladly received his word were baptized. There were added unto them that day about 3,000 souls. When were they added? After they were baptized. Verse 47, Bible says, God added them to the what? The church daily, those who were being saved. Who was God adding to the church? Those who were saved. Who was saved? Those who had been baptized. They were added. God adds them to his church. What's the church? The church is the body of Christ, Ephesians 1, 22 and 23. That is a Bible reason to be baptized. Turn your Bibles to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3, starting in verse 26. The Bible teaches us we're all sons of God by faith in Christ Jesus. But we do not become children of God simply by faith and only by faith. The first word you have in verse 27 of Galatians chapter 3. For, here's how we became children of God. For as many of us, verse 27, as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Look at this passage. The only way to become a child of God is to be baptized. The only way to enter into Christ is to be baptized. The only way to put on Christ is to be baptized. If I'm not baptized, I cannot become one of his children. Take that back to John chapter 3 where it talks about being born again. If I am not baptized, I cannot enter into Christ. It's the only way to get into him. If I'm not baptized, I cannot put on Christ. Folks, those are Bible reasons to be baptized. Look in Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, I alluded to this passage just a few minutes ago. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26 talks about the church. And the Bible says that Jesus, in verse 25, gave himself for the church. He died on the cross, gave himself for the church. Why? Verse 26. He died on the cross that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water, baptism by the word. What happens when someone is baptized, according to Ephesians 5, verse 26? He is sanctified, not before, but when he's baptized. He's cleansed, not before, but when he's baptized. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 1 says, but such were some of you, but you've been washed. You've been baptized. You've been sanctified. You've been justified because you were baptized into Christ. One cannot be sanctified, justified, cleansed. He cannot be justified in the eyes of God until he's baptized. That is a Bible reason to be baptized. Look in Colossians chapter 2. This passage that we talked about just a moment ago. Colossians chapter 2 verse 11 talks about the fact that we have put off the body of sins. When did we do that? Verse 13, the end of it says that we have been made alive. When were we made alive? The end of verse 13 says that we've been forgiven of all of our trespasses. When were we forgiven of all of our trespasses? Verse 12 says, we were buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. Why do you need to be baptized? You need to be buried with him. You need to be raised with him so that you can have the body of sin taken away in forgiveness and be made alive, verse 13. But you need to be raised with him so that the power of God, hear this, so that the power of God can save you. Some folks say, well, I don't understand that. I don't think there's any power in the water. And you're absolutely right. There's no power in the water. There's power in the blood of Jesus. And there's power, according to Colossians 2 and verse 12, in God saving us. We do not merit our salvation. We do not earn our salvation. But through our obedience, and that includes baptism, God, through his working, saves us. One final passage. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 21. One of the simplest passages that talks about baptism. Talks about the fact that Noah, who lived in a day and age, this preacher of righteousness, lived in a day and age of wickedness where God decided to flood the earth. But there were only 8 souls who were saved. How were they saved? The Bible says, let the Bible speak. The Bible says that these 8 souls were saved by water. Verse 20, 1 Peter 3, verse 20. These 8 souls were saved through water. Somebody says, I thought they were saved because they were in the ark. Well, that's what we think. What does the Bible say? The Bible says they were saved through water. Define the word saved. What were they saved from? They were saved from the wickedness and sinfulness of the world, and that water saved them from that world and the sinfulness of it. There is, verse 21, an antitype. There is that which correlates in the New Testament, and that is baptism. Baptism doth also now save us. It's not the removal of the filth of the flesh. That's not why you're baptized. It's not so that you can take a bath and get clean on the outside. It's so that you can be cleaned on the inside. The New American Standard says that baptism does also now save us because it is an appeal to God for a good conscience. It's calling out to God for God to keep his promise as to what would happen when one is baptized. We could go on and on looking at the New Testament about what the Bible tells us, what the New Testament tells us are Bible reasons to be baptized. But folks, I'd like you to consider these. This may be different and is likely different than what some of you have been taught. This may be different and is likely different than what some of you have practiced and obeyed. I want you to ask yourself the question, to be or not to be baptized? Do you need to be baptized? I am not trying in any way to get our young people to run down these aisles to be baptized. In fact, if you're under 11, 12, or 13, I hope you've been taking notes, but you need to talk to your parents later. But for those who are mature enough to understand this, do you need to be baptized? Not for a reason that man might give you. Not for a reason that a church might give you. Do you need to be baptized for a Bible reason? Are you in a relationship with God? Have your past sins been forgiven? Have you been born again? Have you entered into the kingdom of God? Have you obtained for yourself the remission of sins by being baptized? When you did that, were you truly able to rejoice because you did a right thing, but you did it for the right reason? If you've been baptized, but not for one of these reasons, then you did not do the right thing for the right reason. You can only rejoice when you've done the right thing for the right reason and your sins have been forgiven. Have you done this to obey the commands of God as He has given them to us? Have you done this to wash away your sins and at the same time to be calling on the name of the Lord as you do it? Have you done this in order that you might make contact with the blood of Jesus that He shed for your sins? That you might be raised to walk in newness of life, not that old life. That old man, verse 6 of Romans 6, was crucified. He was buried. We got rid of that old man of sin. We were raised. Were you raised to walk in newness of life? Were you freed from that sin that was keeping you in bondage and away from God? Have you done that? Are you a New Testament Christian? A Christian like you read about on the pages of your New Testament. Are you wearing the name of Christ? Have you been added to the body of Christ, baptized into His body? Not to a denomination. Not to a man-made religious group. Have you been baptized according to what the New Testament teaches in order that you might have God add you to His church, the one that His Son died on the cross, shed His blood in order that He might purchase, Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. Have you done that? Have you been baptized in order that you might become a child of God? That's the only way you can become a child of God. To be baptized, to become one of His children, to be put into Christ by the power of God, to put on Christ and baptize. Have you done that? Have you had all of your sins washed away that you can be sanctified, purified, justified, cleansed in the sight of God? The only way you can do that is through Bible baptism. Have you allowed the power of God when you were raised from that water grave of baptism to save you from your sins and to make you alive in the eyes of God? Have you done that? Have you in baptism appealed to God for a clean conscience, a good conscience? That's what the Bible says. It's a reason that someone needs to be baptized. Do you need to do that this morning? Folks, baptism, the Bible teaches, baptism will save you. But it must be preceded by faith, repentance, and confession. Remember Mark 16? He who believes and is baptized will be saved. Remember Acts 2:38? He who repents and is baptized will have the remission of sins. Romans chapter 10, that we make with our mouths, we make a confession of our faith. And down in verse 13, whoever calls on the name of the Lord, remember that's in baptism, shall be saved. They're all tied together, but those must precede our baptism. I ask you this morning, why are you waiting? Arise, be baptized, wash away your sins. And as a Christian, walk faithfully with your Lord in the same blood of Jesus that washes away your sins in the waters of baptism is the same blood through a faithful walk with our Lord that will keep on cleansing you if you keep on serving Him. If you have any questions at all about this lesson today, please do not hesitate to ask. But if you need to respond to this invitation, please come as together we stand and sing.